He is sovereign and He is gracious. And for that reason and that reason alone, we are here to worship Him, to delve into His Word, to ask that He would bless this time. I am grateful to God for another opportunity to preach His glorious Word. In the last 2 years, I have preached 30 sermons, both here at Sovereign Grace and at Mountain Reformed. It has been as edifying to me as I hope it has been to those who have heard the sermons. Preaching God's word is an honor that I do not take lightly, and it is the joy of my life. Today, by God's grace, I will preach a different type of sermon. Although I shy away from basing an entire sermon on personal application, God has truly revealed Himself to me in a powerful way and in a very practical way during these last 2 months. So tonight, I seek, with His help and by His grace, to publicly acknowledge Him for what He has done and to convey my gratitude to Him. And I also seek to glean from this experience even more fully all that He has for me and for us to glean. It is my hope that tonight He and He alone would be glorified and that He would graciously use this hour to edify His people. About a year ago, Benita and I discussed the idea of selling our house and moving to Valencia to be closer to my in-laws. We were not sure about many things. We were not sure about the value of our house and if this would even be possible financially. We began to pray and seek God's will. At that time, although we were praying, I am not sure if we were surrendering this decision to God. About 4 months ago, we had peace in our heart about beginning to take the initial steps in pursuing the sale of our house and buying another house. We hired an agent. At this point, we continued to pray, but the prayer took a different tone. It was a tone of surrender to God's will and a seeking of God to be glorified. During the month of March, we began to look for properties in the Valencia area. We also began to take steps to place our Chino Hills home on the market. At this point, I felt myself asking God, even more than I ever had in my entire life, for His will. I felt broken. I knew my wife's heart was to move closer to her parents, and I knew my responsibility as a husband to her. But I wanted to know what God wanted me to do on a practical basis. I wanted to know His will in this situation, and I wanted Him to help me surrender to His will in a way that was different than He had ever had done in my life. I asked God to literally sell my home, if that is what He wanted. We listed the property on the market at the end of March, the beginning of April. In less than a week, we had multiple offers, full offers on our property, even a cash offer. God had answered. We began to look at even more properties to buy in Valencia. We had visited older houses, newer houses, and new constructions. We had passed on the idea of buying a new construction for a variety of reasons. But one day, when we were looking at older homes, we got lost. I really don't know Valencia all that well, to be honest with you. And we wound up on Verdugo Circle in front of a new construction, one that we had visited before, but we had passed on. It was one of Benita's favorites. She had actually emailed the building company a week prior and was told that they are completely sold out of the residence, the plan, the floor plan of the home that we were interested in. Now lost and outside the offices of this builder, Lennar, I told my wife that we should go inside and ask what else is available if everything that we wanted is sold out. She was unsure, but I told her we were here anyway. We went inside and saw the same man that had helped us earlier, Heroes. We asked him about the available properties and asked him if there was any available residence in the floor plan that we had liked, because we had been told that they were completely sold out. He said that ironically, he was in the process of canceling the transaction of a buyer that had backed out. The residence was what we had wanted and even had a view that the others did not. Now, I'm not always a confident person, but after seeing the house that day, I found myself telling him that I believe this is my house. He said that he can put me on the waiting list for the house, but there were people ahead of me that had been waiting for something to become available. He told me about the process and getting pre-approved for the loan, which is, of course, required to proceed. I told him I would have all the requirements met within 48 hours, and we would be approved for this loan. I told him that I was a Christian, and if God wanted me to have this house, he would make it happen. And if God didn't want me to have this house, then I don't want it anyway. Those 2 days, driving to work, I felt myself praying yet again in a way that I was not accustomed to. You see, I had always prayed for God's will, as I'm sure many of you do, because that is what Scripture teaches, is it not? But I found myself not only praying for his will, but surrendering to his will. I remember passing new constructions, newly built homes on the way to work, and I remember telling God that I may not have the money that the people that live in those homes have, but I have you, God. You are my Father, and if you want this house for me, then you buy it for me. I'm asking you for your will, but I'm also asking you specifically, is this the house made by the builder Lennar on Verdugo Circle? Is this the specific house you want for me? Because if it is, please make it happen. But if it isn't, please do not allow us to buy this house. Is this the house, Lord? Is this what you want? Is this the one? Please show me. So I found myself asking him all of these things. I found myself asking him to buy it for me, because that was our desire. But then I would say, but not my will, but yours. I asked him and I pleaded with him to show me if this is the actual house he wants. Within 48 hours, as I had told Heroes, we were approved for the loan and we were put on the waiting list. Less than 48 hours after that, we received a call from Heroes at Lennar. The man who told us that there were people ahead of us on the list waiting for the house. And his words were simply, the house is yours. I reminded him that it was God who delivered it to us. And when we signed the paperwork in his office a week later, I said, thank you, Lord, for buying this house for me. From that day in April until now June, for the last 2 months, God has put everything in order for us. I won't bore you with the details, but he has helped us pack up. He has helped us sell our home and finalize that transaction. He has helped us by providing brothers to help us move. He has secured for us a one-bedroom apartment in Chino Hills for us to live in until our property becomes available at the end of this month. I found it ironic and humbling that for the last 10 years we've lived in a 1,200 square foot house quite happily, and we just purchased a house that's 2,300 square feet. But we have a stopover in a 600 square foot one bedroom apartment. God is just too good. Just humbling us. Because there are people that live in a 600 square foot apartment. We need to know what that's like. And that's where we are today. He has done so many other things, putting everything in order for us. Things that, quite frankly, I may have even forgotten. Our loan will close, Lord willing, at the end of this month. And the transaction that God has done for this house will be completed. There are two things we're still praying about. My job situation, that I would find a job closer to Valencia and closer to home. And our church situation, that as much as I love being here, I know the toll that it would take on me and my family making the 70-mile drive one way. Those things, like everything else, I leave to Him. And I pray simply for His will. I pray in a way that I haven't before. Quick story about the job situation. So He's lining all these things up, right? And I go online and I submit my resume on a Monday at noon. I get a call back by 4 p.m. about a position, an English teaching position at a junior high school in Valencia, 10 minutes from my home. I research the position online to know a little bit about the school. I schedule an interview for later that week, on a Thursday, I believe. I want to know more about the school. It turns out that the principal is a Christian. I pray for God's will. And I think it's a done deal. 10 minutes from home. Christian principal. And those of you that know me know that I love to teach young people. I go on the interview. And I have a good interview. 2 days later, I receive a call that I did not get the job. See, when you pray for God's will, then you should know that He's going to give you His will. Well, don't get me wrong. Sometimes He gives you the desire of your heart if it's in line with His will. But He said no to that job. Do you think maybe He knew something I don't? Do you think maybe He wants me somewhere else? You see, when God opens up a door, there's no one that can close it. But isn't it true, conversely, that when He closes that door, there is no hands or fingers that will pry it open? I'm still applying for a job. And I'm still trusting that God would have me somewhere else. And by God's grace, I still do have a job, which I'm not planning on quitting. And I do have a church, which I'm not planning on leaving. Until God reveals His clear will for my life. Now, I left a big part of the story out. And I hope you can guess what it is, but I don't think you can. During the last 2 months or so, God has been pointing me to His word and dealing with me on many issues that He needed to deal with me on. The way I see, spiritually. My confidence, which should be in him, and the fruit that my life should bear. Those three things. You see, like you, I read the word. I know the word. And for 30 sermons, I've even preached the word. But do we live the word on a practical basis? Do we live the word on a practical basis? During all the things I just told you that God was doing in my life, listen to what else he was doing. Listen to the sermons that God planned for me to preach during the last 3 months and ask yourself, is this a coincidence? Pastor calls me up. Sargon, we're doing A.W. Pink's The Guidance of God. The Guidance of God. I had not told him yet that I was moving. He said, it's a long 15-page. I want you to do it, and I want you to do it in two parts. I said, I'll do it, Pastor. Later that week, because things were solidifying, I did tell him that this is what was going on. We both chuckled at the irony that A.W. Pink's words on how God guides us is exactly what was transpiring in my life. You see, Pink said that God reveals himself in three ways. His word, his Holy Spirit, and his providence for his people. But that above all, his word, his inerrant, precious word, should be everything to us. So I preached those two sermons on the guidance of God with a vigor that can only come from experiencing it firsthand. Secondly, I preached on the life of David. Some of you heard that sermon. I actually preached two sermons. One was on David's triumph over Goliath. You know, when he saw through the eyes of faith, not through the eyes of Saul. When he had the confidence, not in himself, but in God who would deliver. And when his life bore so much fruit that people would look at him and say, the Lord is with him. But I also preached the sermon on David's sin with Bathsheba, did I not? When he did not see through the spiritual eyes, when his confidence was not in God, but in himself, and when his life did not bear fruit, becoming of a man of God. Was God telling me that he wants me to speak spiritually? What is he telling me? That it is time that I put my confidence completely on him for the practical, daily things that he has for me. And was he saying that as long as my life bears fruit, that this is what he would have for me? Plus, God throws in Galatians 5. Pastor Steve, covering Galatians 5, how Christians should bear fruit, how Christians should trust more and more in God on a practical, everyday, hey, so you're buying a house level. Galatians 5:22-25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. So you see, God was arranging everything in my life according to his will. And as an added bonus, he was having me listen to and preach on the practical aspects of what a Christian life should be, as if to say, quite clearly, this isn't about a house. And it's not about a job. And it's not about which church you're going to attend. It's about me. God's message to me, through the guidance of God, A.W. Pink, the life of David, Galatians 5, and my own experiences, it was a loud and clear message. This is about me. So this is about him. This is about him. I did something else then. He did something else then. He called into my remembrance the most common verses that we think of when it comes to God and how we are to trust in him and delight in him. And by his grace, I found something quite profound. Allow me to share. The first verse is Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. You can turn there if you want, but most of us know it by heart. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Allow me to read God's word. I'll actually start with the first verse to give you a little bit of context. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. The verses that we're used to quoting are trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I think we twist this scripture. I'll be honest with you. I think we twist this scripture. Here's how we twist it. If not you, here's how I twist it. I want him to make my path straight. I want him to give me the desires of my heart. I want him as a father to do. You see, we got the last part of that verse really, really well down packed. But is it not contingent on the first part? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. I found myself asking the question, am I trusting in him with all my heart? Am I leaning on his understanding and not my own? Am I acknowledging him every opportunity I get? I found myself lacking in that area. But yet, nevertheless, I want him to make my path straight. So the experiences that I've shared with you, Oh, they got me to trust in him with all my heart. They got me to surrender to his will and be broken before him. And when I was tempted to lean towards my own understanding, he didn't allow me to. And when I did not acknowledge him, he reminded me of this verse. And now I remind you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding of any situation. In all your ways, just acknowledge him. And he has promised. Because his word doesn't lie. He has promised to make your path straight. And within the context of Proverbs 3, 1 through 8, you see where that fits in. Do not forget my teaching, my son. Let your heart keep my commandments. It is not what God simply will do for us. It is what we as Christians should do before him. How about another scripture verse that can be easily twisted? That was Proverbs 3. How about Psalm 37? Psalm 37. Again, this is one that you've probably memorized. I ask you to look at it fresh today. Psalm 37, verse 4. I'm going to read for context, Psalm 37, verse 1 through 7. Psalm 37. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. If you continue reading the psalm, you'll see he's dealing directly with the fact that sometimes those who do evil prosper, or they seem to be prospering. And we look to them and we say, wow, look at that person prospering. But lest I digress, let us look at the verse in question. Not only in these verses do we see the word trust again, reminding of a Proverbs 3, we see the verse that we've memorized. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. The desire of my heart is so important. You see how we look at the second part of that again without thinking of the first part? We are so about the desires of our heart. Make my path straight. Make my path straight. Make my path straight. How about trust in the Lord with all your heart? Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Make my path straight. But there's something that comes before that. He will give me the desires of my heart. What a wish list I can come up with. Some of it very noble. Wish list for my family. Wish list for my career. Wish list for my ministry. Some of it commendable. Give me the desires of my heart. Did we forget the beginning of that verse? Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Are you delighting yourself in the Lord? Are you surrendering to His will? Do you have the peace that can only come from Him? Delight yourself in the Lord constantly. Delight yourself in the Lord. It's an ongoing thing. Delight yourself in the Lord, your children of God. Delight yourself in Him always. And He promises to give you the desire of your heart. I once heard MacArthur preach on this. And I found it quite brilliant many, many, many years ago. But God called it into my remembrance this week. Look carefully at this verse. If you delight yourself in the Lord, if you delight yourself in the Lord, you're overcome with a desire to please Him. If you delight yourself in the Lord, your heart is full of this idea of just being in awe of Him, of just pleasing Him and wanting to do what He wants you to do. If you delight yourself in the Lord, you've lost all those little desires that seem to be so important. If you delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desire of your heart. Do you know why? Because the desire of your heart is Him. That's what that verse means. In case for a split second you thought it's a wish list, and God is some type of genie, and He loves His kids so much that you are entitled to something when you have everything in Him. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart, because your heart is His and the desires therein. Delight yourself in the Lord. Do the first part. Leave the second part up to Him. Don't worry about that second part. Just delight yourself in Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. Again, I am not passing judgment. This is what He's taught me through this process. This is what I was lacking. I read the verse. I shared the verse. I preached the verse. And now it's time to live the verse. Those of you that were here during A.W. Pink, do you remember what he said about milk? When you're a baby, the child needs milk. The milk. Is it about the milk? Of course it is. Are you sure? Of course I'm sure. What's the purpose of milk for a child? So he can get up and walk. So he can get up and walk. So he can have nourishment. If you have the milk and it has no practical implications upon your walk, what exactly is the milk doing for you? Pink argues. This is not me. This is right from Pink. This is what it is. We must delight in Him on a practical basis. He will give you the desire of your heart. I know I don't have to say this to all of you, but some of you may be tempted to say, well, you don't know my heart. And you're right, I don't know your heart. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is you don't know your heart. And you certainly don't know the word, especially when it clearly says the heart is deceptive above all things. Who can know it? You don't have to turn there, but let me put that verse in context for you. Jeremiah 17, 9. Verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Wow, the three verses I've picked out so far that we twist all have the word trust in them. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the years of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. That is the context. That is what God thinks of your heart. In case you're wondering, Don't rely on your heart. Yes, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But that presupposes that your heart is his, and that your heart on a practical level is his, and that everything you do, the fruit, bears witness to him. That is the heart that it's speaking of. Otherwise, as we've experienced in our life, even after we've become believers, the heart is so deceptive above all things. Who can truly understand it? Then what's the remedy? It's the verse before that. It's the idea that we have to trust in the Lord, like a tree that's planted by the water, that sends out its roots into the stream, by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought. Are you in a year of drought? Are you anxious? It says, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Speaking of anxious, this brings me to the last verse that we twist up oh so well. You know it. Do not be anxious. Philippians 4, 6. And I end on this. The last verse that God called to my mind clearly during this process. Clearly. So you got Proverbs 3. You got Psalm 37. With a slight aside of Jeremiah 17 about the heart. And now you have the brilliance of Philippians 4. I'm going to start with verse 4 and go to 7, and then we'll concentrate on verse 6, the one we memorize, and oh, the one we should live. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. How is it possible, Sargon, that we twist this verse up? Isn't it crystal clear? It is impossible to twist this, even if you're saying we have a deceptive heart. It's impossible. You can't twist this up. Watch how I did twist it up. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay? God doesn't want me to be anxious. Kind of hard sometimes, but I hear him. But in everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Stop. Right there, as a child of God, I'm thinking we have this relationship where as long as I let him know my requests, he is such a faithful God to grant me my requests. Because after all, I'm his child, and look at me. I'm doing all of these things. And after all, I'm praying with supplication, begging him with a thankful heart, and I'm making my requests known unto him. Certainly this verse means he answers with my very specific request. Again, we are not reading the second part of the verse. That's just the first part. And that's how we twist it. Yeah, with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, you should make your requests known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Where exactly does it say he's going to give you the request that you asked? I don't see it. But lest you fret, he's going to give you something better than your request. Lest you fret, he's going to give you something better than a job. He's going to give you something better than a house. He's going to give you something better than all the things that I've mentioned today. He's going to give you something that you can't purchase in this world with monetary value. He's going to give you the peace that only He has, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. He will give you that peace in answer to your requests, plural. Whatever you ask of Him, if it is within His will, He will give it to you. Oh, rest assured, this house would not have been purchased if it wasn't His will for me. And if His will is not for me to work 5 minutes from home as I desire, are you going to see me drive 70 miles one way? Maybe then I can think about my sermons and how I can live them and not just preach them. And if that's what He wants to do with me, who am I to say, God, let me tell you what needs to happen in the next, you know, before school starts, you know, on August 17th. Let me tell you what needs to happen. See, I'm coming with You every day, Lord, with prayer and supplication. And You know I have a thankful heart. I've even proclaimed in front of every, I have such a thankful heart. God, this is my request. And that God will grant you the request because you're Sargon. No, that's not what the verse is saying. But if you've seen me recently, you've seen a peace in my face and in my heart that surpasses all understanding. I don't understand it myself, but this verse promised it. You see, it didn't promise me I was going to get the house, the job, the whatever, but it did promise me, and it has delivered the peace that surpasses all understanding. You guys, I couldn't have paid for that peace. I couldn't have gone to a store and bought it. It just doesn't exist other than with God. It is God who provided that peace that surpasses all understanding. Furthermore, He says that that peace will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. You know what the Greek word there for guard is? Will stand as a military soldier stands at your heart. Will guard, like a military personnel that will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Do you see what He's promising you? He's promising you that if you trust in Him, let's put all the verses together and not twist them up. For God's sakes, not twist them up. He's telling us that if we trust in Him with all our heart, we don't lean on our own understanding. If we acknowledge Him, if we delight in Him, if we don't rely on the desires of our heart, if we go to Him with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, if we do all of these things, He promises, ta-da, not to give us what we're asking, but to give us so much more. Because my house will come and go, and so will my job and my ministry. But He stands at my heart as He promised, as a soldier, guarding my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And that, my friends, is all I desire. It's all I desire. It's all I desire. And that's what I've learned in the past 3 months. I hope and I pray that it's a source of edification to you, as it has been to me. I teach it to you, having been taught of it by our Master and our King and our Lord. Live the life that the Word has called you to live. When you read these scriptures from now on, know that he is asking you to do these things on a practical basis, that he is ready. Whatever the request is, he knows it before you do, whether it's about a house, a job, the business you've had for so many years. He knows it. It's not about that business, is it? Hanging on to it? It's not about that. And it's not about the house. It's not about anything else. I hope today he spoke clearly to your hearts. It's about him. It's about him and you. But even more so, it's about him. Make it about him. And you will never regret it. Ever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you so much for speaking through me today. Thank you so much, Lord, for just putting this all together for me, Lord. It wasn't me, Lord. I didn't understand this as I was going through it, Lord. Thank you so much for your word. If we just look at it, Lord, it speaks clearly to us, Lord. But because we're weak, Lord, please, please shine the light of Scripture onto our hearts and in our life in a practical way. It is a lamp to our feet, a light to our path. We know those verses. Do we allow it to be a lamp to our feet? Do we allow it to light our path? Or are we trying to do that on our own? Oh, your precious word is so beautiful and so clear. Help us to be hearers of the word, but more importantly, doers of the word. And all that we would ask in return is that you and you alone would receive the glory that you so surely deserve. Help us surrender all things to your will. Break our hearts and rid of anything that is against or outside of your will. Help us to make it about you and nothing else and no one else. Nothing and no one deserves that spot. It is yours and yours alone, for you have done it all. You have done the big thing. You have saved us. We know that you will take care of all the little things when you've paid such a glorious price that we are about to celebrate the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus. You've paid that price. Will you withhold anything from your children? Will you do anything to our detriment? You will not, Lord. It is our hearts that deceive us. Your word is clear. You will give us the peace that surpasses all understanding as long as we live the life that your word clearly says we should. Oh, Lord, help us to live that life. Help us starting today to live that life. Help us on a practical basis to live it. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your provision. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the body that was broken and the blood that was shed, without which we could not come before your throne, for without which we would not be your children. We thank you for this indescribable gift. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.